Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert, and we are in the book of Luke. We've been talking about the transfiguration of Jesus. It's found in Matthew chapter 16 and Mark chapter 8 and Luke chapter 9. Also, that's the beginning of it, but then it goes into the transfiguration in Matthew chapter 17, Mark 9, and Luke 9 also. And we've kind of been stuck here through three of these radio shows. And so get your Bible, grab a cup of coffee, and join us, please.
Hi, this is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
And this is Dan from Vancouver, Washington also.
Well, we didn't get finished on our discussion, did we? Do we want to read one of these again about the transfiguration? We knew that there was like a preamble to the Constitution. There is something that's happening before each of the time that Jesus is transfigured, and that they were introduced to Jesus, who is known as the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. They were also introduced that where Jesus says, "Amen, I say unto you, there are some standing here that will not taste of death until they see the kingdom of God come with power." And, well, we know Elijah hasn't died yet. And I tell you, there's some standing here that will not taste of death before they see the kingdom of God. You see that statement in both Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then the transfiguration. And we were in Mark 9, 28 through, I think, 36, wasn't it?
We've been talking among ourselves about Moses and Elijah and how the disciples knew him. And Dan had an interesting point about Moses and Jesus. And what was that point, Dan?
Well, Moses was brought in the law, if that's what you're referring to. And Elijah, who Jesus said is John the Baptizer, he brought in the message.
Well, he's not the same, but he came as Elijah.
Exactly. And it's just interesting that those are the two that are there at that time.
He foretold of John the Baptizer coming.
And the other place is in the burning bush that Moses was present where Jesus was, and the point in the...
Oh, yes. In 1 Corinthians 10, Moses and Christ is mentioned in 1 Corinthians 10 in the cloud. He was baptized in the cloud into the sea. And then, so that means Jesus was back with Moses, back when they went through the Red Sea. And here he is again with Jesus again.
And then as we were talking, Gil brought out some more points about, like, there was the Dark Ages. That was in the, what was that, the 1400s, 1500s?
Somewhere in there.
And so the Dark Ages, we lost a lot of knowledge. And Gil brought out some things about people in India that were, go ahead, talk about that.
Flying. Gil. Well, we know Job. Remember, we just read Job, which goes back to a little bit after Abraham. And they had knowledge of light. Job speaks of hydroelectric power. He speaks of damming the water and lights and going down into a mine and mining and them swinging and in the light. Well, there's electricity back then. And in India, they have found flight manuals of in-flight procedures and takeoff and landing. And in South America, I'm a civil engineer. I've worked on and surveyor, and I've worked on airport runways, repaving them and building them. And there are for sure remnants of, I've seen them, of landing, takeoff and landing strips in South America.
Perhaps they could have had photographs of these people so they'd know what they looked like.
There might have been photography back then.
Or artists.
Yeah, or artists' renderings, or they knew the voice, the spirit we have. We're made of spirit, soul, and body. And there are people that know things. Your flesh won't pick it up, but a dog will see when a demon comes or goes. They'll be watching them. If you've ever had to deal with people that are demon possessed, we've had to cast them out in different instances. But a dog will see it and a human won't get it at all. The dog hair will rise up. He'll watch it move and it's invisible to man. But men that are spiritual can understand and see things that a natural man cannot see. So there's three parts to us. And if you do not have the Holy Spirit of God in you, that inner spirit part is not awake. There's a void there. And that needs to come to life. And that can only come when a man is filled with the Holy Spirit. So there are things that we just have to take by faith. They just knew it was Moses. They knew it was Elijah. We don't know any kind of conversations that went on in between. It just tells us enough. We just have to believe that it's Moses and Elijah, and we just have to believe the rest. And when the Lord comes, we can feel, hey, Jesus, how? Oh, I get it. You called them by name, and you were hugging each other or whatever. We just don't know the little intermediate parts. We have to take some things totally by faith, don't we?
Yeah.
And we're going to laugh at ourselves.
The righteous will live by faith and not by sight. So.
Right. And so that's that inner part. It's not our flesh part. It deals in the mind, but especially in the spirit of man. There's some things that don't you just sense that all of a sudden there's evil here, I better not go here. Well, that's the spirit part warning you, but your flesh, oh, I just got to go in there because I'm hungry or something. And it's best to listen to the spirit. Okay, next context. We are in 37.
We did that one.
We did.
Oh, we did that
one. Yeah. Jesus cast out an unclean spirit.
Right after. Oh, right after the transfiguration. Okay. So 43b, but while they were marveling at all these things, which he did, he said to his disciples, Panans sets the context where they really belong. Our Bibles don't always coincide with really what the Greek and the Hebrew says, but Panans is more accurate. So that context, the next context, Luke 9, begins with 43b, but while, and it goes to verse 48.
What about 46? Where does that
fit? I have 43 through 45 as the context.
Oh, you're right. Okay. 43b. Through 45.
Yes.
But while they were all marveling at all these things which he did, he said to his disciples, let these words sink into your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered up into men's hands. But they understood not this saying, and it was concealed from them that they should not perceive it, and they were afraid to ask him about this saying.
So your ears really belong to God at this time, right?
Yeah.
So you can't be listening to something else. It's got to sink into your ears. So you got to give your ears wholly to this. Remember, Joe said, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look on another woman. That basically my wife is going to be what I'm going to be looking at. How does it say that?
Let these words sink into your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered up into the men's hands.
Isn't it interesting that he tells them, let the word sink into your ears, and then the very next verse, but they did not understand the statement, and it was concealed from them.
But if it sinks in your ears.
So it went in.
Yeah.
It's in there.
And it's in there.
It's in there.
And it's in this.
Money's in the
bank. It's in this library, and it just hasn't been witnessed as to what this means, right?
Yeah.
There are times it says, and we remembered that he told us. That's a sink into your ears.
Yes. So it's logged in there. So, and basically he is saying, file this, but keep it in a place. Don't just, you know, where it gets discarded. Don't let it go through the shredder, but have it in a place that's ready because you're going to see it someday or sometime.
I think one time I heard you say about you can't withdraw it from the bank if there's nothing that you've put in. And when, as we read God's word, we're putting it all in and he'll draw it out from us when it's time.
So the bank is a place of security that it's not to be put in the trash can. It's exactly. To be put in the bank.
I like the library that you said. That was really good.
And put it in the right, you know, like the, what's that Dewey decimal? What's that Dewey decimal system? Or what is that what it's called in the libraries?
Sure.
We happen to have by a bookcase that came from the Denver Library. It's a beautiful old oak bookcase. And it had the decimals exactly what it was. And it would happen to be botany. And I bought that. And come to find, I bought that. And it happened to be something was my wife's favorite subject was botany. She loved to buy books about botany. Huh. And so I'd buy her books and put it in. So they were in the right. So put it this in the Dewey Decimal System in something extremely important that God told me not to lose. It's going to sink in my ear and file it. In the right bookcase, right? I never caught that before till I started doing this, really slowing down and doing it gospel by gospel, like Ivan Panin suggested.
And it's an example here, too, that you're going to read things in the scriptures, and they're going to be concealed from your eyes, and you're not going to perceive it until you do. That's part of this.
Or another part of that is you're going to be told things.
And you're not going to understand
it. And you're not going to understand
it. Or perceive it. You are not going to perceive it. The Bible is going to be like that.
Did you know you have three parts to your ears? Here we go again.
Okay.
Inner, middle, and outer, I don't know.
No, there's the drum, and then there's a canal, and then there is the part of the ear that transfers it to, I believe, the electrical system.
That's the little, they call it.
Huh. Yeah, it transfers it to where the brain picks it up.
Oh, it transfers it, so it could get stopped right before the transfer.
The physics changes from an acoustical to an electrical, what I understand. I believe I'm right on that.
From a hum,
I read about
it. From a hum to electricity.
Yes.
Well, that's a nice converter.
For your nerves. Our body is chemical and electrical.
Yeah, the body electric.
So, yeah. Makes sense.
Isn't that there's that three parts again, from the physical to the spiritual, from the flesh to the soul to the spirit. I think that's what it's saying, isn't it? And the body shows those three parts. There's a lot of threes in us.
So we're fearfully and wonderfully made.
Yeah. 46 to 48 of Luke 9.
46. An argument started among them as to which of them might be the greatest. But Jesus, knowing what they were thinking in their heart, took a child and stood him by his side, and said to them, "Whoever receives this child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. For the one who is least among all of you is the one who is great."
Yeah, there we go again. I mean, there we go as men. You know, we have to own all these things that people do wrong. Is anybody in this room exempt from all the, you know, we talk about others. There's everything in there is pertaining to me. I don't know about you guys, but it's things we have to fight. It's not those guys. It's us. It's mankind. It's our flesh that we deal with. And the greater, here's the competition. How did God like competition? Anything else you saw in that? Or is it kind of embarrassing to talk about ourselves like this?
The Bible mentions over and over again, we were just talking about it last night at our Bible study, how humility comes before honor. And just to be humble, and that goes right along with repentance, being willing to receive, being soft, being moldable to what God has to say, either what we hear about God through our ears or the truth through our ears or what we read. We have to be willing to be humble.
So here we're talking about something technical, and now he takes a child up in his lap and, like, keep things simple, right? We're reminded to not get too haughty, you know, in knowledge and understanding.
Well, he makes a big connector here. He says, if you receive the little child in my name, you receive me. And you go, okay. And if you receive me, you receive him that sent me. Oh, okay. So if you want to get connected to God the Father, you got to get there through Jesus. And if you want to get there through Jesus, you have to receive a little child in my name.
Well, when you have little children that are born, from the time they're a baby to a certain age, they really haven't sinned. They're not accountable for sin. They are God's baby, too. If you've thought about this, the age of accountability. When David's baby died because of his sin, he mourned for the child. As soon as he died, he immediately went back to God, and David got up, and the servants are going like, what's with this guy? And they questioned him, and he said, well, he will not come back to me. In other words, I'm not going to worry about raising him from the dead. He's already God's. He went back to God. He says, and I will go. He will not
I'll
come
go to
me.
Him.
I'll go to him. I'll go to where he is. So you really want to be careful what you do with your child growing up from 0 to 7 years old, 8 years old, whenever the age of accountability is, I don't know. That's a real gray area with me. If anybody figured that out yet?
He didn't put a number in there.
They're innocent, and they're God's. If they go, they go home. A miscarriage, they go home. I mean, if I can give you hope in this, and even the ugliness of abortions, they go home. And it seems like Christians don't understand that. Now, I'm not condoning abortions. My wife and I hate them. But maybe there's a reason that they're going home. I don't want to get gross in this.
There's just some things we don't have control over,
right.
And that's one
of
them.
I certainly don't condone it at all. I hate it. I just naturally hate it. But they're God's, and it looks like they're immediately eternally. And you're going to go to your child. If you lost a child, and we've all have in our family someplace, I have one close to me. It happened, one of my grandkids that could have been. And I was talking to my daughter and says, we'll get to see him fully mature. You ever thought about that? And she started thinking about it, and all of a sudden—
Well, that was the question, so I'll answer you. No, I haven't. No, I haven't.
Haven't had one close to you?
No, I haven't thought like that.
Oh.
And I'm not saying not to think like that.
Right.
You said, have you ever thought like that? No, I haven't. That's interesting.
So what verse are we on now? 49?
Yes.
Now, this seems like a big break in penance. And I know he does it for a reason. I haven't found out exactly why. In other words, in his Bible, there's a big wide white space. And it's almost like maybe in 51, it's like moving on. I don't know. It says, and it came to pass.
Like it's another.
It came to pass later. So there's a break, but we still haven't finished this. 49 and 50. Could somebody read that? It seems like it's still part of the same thing, and the transfiguration is there. It had been announced about the kingdom of God. They were astonished at Jesus' majesty, and he first talks about seeing the kingdom of God. And he tells them they're going to see the kingdom of God, and then all of a sudden he's transfigured. They're going to start seeing things they have never seen before and be carrying this. And then it talks about the next day, they came down from the mountain. This happened on the mountain, and a great crowd met him, and they were astonished at his majesty. Apparently, the crowd even saw his majesty. And while they were marveling at all these things, he was saying, let these things sink deep into your ears. And then he started reasoning amongst themselves, and who's the least and who's the greatest. And so
when he's gone. Yes.
So in this same thought pattern, these two verses need to be read, 49 and 50.
It is a same thought pattern. Yeah.
It's an interesting thought pattern, isn't it?
49. John answered and said, Master, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to prevent him because he does not follow along with us. But Jesus said to him, do not hinder him, for he who is not against you is for you.
These guys just have to keep learning over and over all these new things.
Yeah.
Just 5 minutes ago, we're talking about if you're going to be late, great, you got to be a little child, you got to be least, and now these people are over here, and they're doing this, and we wanted to stop them because they weren't with us, and he goes, no, and they're going like, we're wrong again.
And then we're sitting here thinking, hey, that's us. We're always learning something new.
Who is not against you is for you. And you're like, okay, it didn't have to just be us. Wait a minute, you just opened a door. There's other people that we don't know. There's other people that we don't know.
Yeah, but isn't it us?
It's us.
How many times have you gone and you get stopped in your tracks and the Lord says, not that way. You're missing the point.
You're not the only people that know this.
Yeah.
You're not the only people that do this.
Right. I'm working with other people. There's others that are not of this flock.
And by the way, other people that you don't know. Yeah. Just trust me, there's other people.
Yes.
And by the way, I've kept the integrity of my message for several thousand years.
Now, look at how John answers them, you know, because they were just, who's the greater? And John said, Master. That's a good name for now after he's been transfigured, he goes, Master. His whole tone has just changed. I've never seen that before either. There are things being opened to me that I just have not slowed down and looked at this step by step, and it's just jumping off the page.
And it's interesting, the guy that comes out to ask the big question, he gets the big answer, hinder them not. He thought he was doing good.
I wonder how many Greek words is that. It's probably two Greek words.
What?
Hinder them not.
Hinder them not.
It's probably two Greek words. I'll have to look in my Greek Bible.
Don't worry about these people. If they're not against you, they're for you.
So let's read next. The next one doesn't mean we can't go back over. Have you seen anything else? Or we read the next one, we can still talk back about it. So
it just made me think of how many times that the Lord has sent someone to say something to me, but they weren't necessarily from the people we know, but he'll give you messages through whoever he'll give you messages.
Yeah, maybe even through a donkey.
Even through
Balaam. Or another person that we disrespect.
And here the subject of what John was, he didn't say people were going around talking. He said they were going around casting out demons in your name, which he knew that was something
and
good.
And it sounds like they were casting them out, so they sounds like it was right.
It was real.
If it
and
was
he
working.
Says, and they were stopping them.
Yeah.
And we were hindering them because they weren't with us.
And we knew some priest sons that just got beat up by some demons because they couldn't. And this is later on. But there's something when a person can actually do that. Let's read the next context, 51 to 55.
Okay, 51. When the days were approaching for his ascension, he was determined to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him, and they went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make arrangements for him. But they did not receive him because he was traveling towards Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, "Lord, do you not want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them and said, "You do not know what kind of spirit you are of, for the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." And they went to another village.
Now, in the end of that statement, Dan, that's not in the Panons. I'll read what Panons says.
Good.
It says, "And when the disciples James and John heard this, they said, 'Lord, wilt thou bid fire to come down from heaven and consume them?' But he turned and rebuked them, and they went to another village."
But even it starts off differently because your translation is what, Dan?
A New American Standard.
It left off, "and it came to pass when the days were being fulfilled." And it's in Panons, didn't
it's
it?
It's in Panons, yes.
"And it came to pass." Isn't that funny?
It's good to look at that.
Yeah, Panons is, we found him to be accurate where the others are not accurate in a lot of places.
There they added a bunch of words and then they left out a bunch of words.
Yeah.
Wow.
So they did the adding, they did the take the it double. Out first, and they added it second. Right in one little four verses.
Wow. So Jesus' face was set to go to Jerusalem, is that what it says?
Yes. And he sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they didn't, I didn't ever see this. And they did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem.
And James and John saw this. They said, "Lord, wilt thou that we bid fire to come down from heaven?" Yeah.
They knew some stories from a long time ago.
Yeah.
About Elijah. They yep. wanted to just recreate that story.
Let's
just recreate that story.
Right. Know? And here, later on, Jesus is going to say, "Follow me." Next context, 57 to 62.
"And as they went on the way, someone said unto him, 'I will follow thee wherever thou goest.' And Jesus said to him, 'The foxes have holes, and the birds of heaven nest, but the Son of Man has not where to lay his head.' And he said unto another, 'Follow me.' But he said, 'Suffer me first to go and bury my father.' And he said to him, 'Leave the dead to bury their own dead, but thou go and publish abroad the kingdom of God.' And another also said, 'I will follow thee, Lord, but first suffer me to bid farewell to them that are at my house.' But Jesus said unto him, 'No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God.'"
Boy, we're coming to an end here pretty quickly. "And no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." He said, "Follow me again." That was the first thing he said, but now he's saying that again, "Follow me." And now he's saying, "Follow me and not look back. And until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth."
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God."